Well, it's 9:15. Oh, does anybody know where you can get an 8-track cassette player? Anybody have any of those laying around?
Maybe a flea market or something.
Flea market, garage sales. Garage sales would probably be the best because some of the flea. We went to a couple of places, Goodwill and Salvation Army, and we looked at a couple, but I always felt that when people donate them to these places, they're shopped. But if you can get one at a garage sale or a yard sale.
Like eBay.
eBay's a good place. Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah. But anyway, we could use a couple, I believe. We're going to continue our study this morning on the book of Revelation. We're going to continue just laying the foundation, actually. There's a reason for the tribulation. There's a reason for the book of Revelation. There's a reason for all these things. Last week we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that Israel rejected God as their king. And then once again, turn in your Bibles over to John chapter 19, if you will, this morning. We'll begin there. There are basically 4, maybe 5 reasons for the tribulation. One of those is that the nation of Israel rejected their king all the way back in 1 Samuel. And also in John chapter 19, go to verse 14 if you will. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the 6th hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. Pilate was right, wasn't he? He was right. Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Isn't that sad? No king but Caesar. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of society we live in today. We have no king but President Obama. We have no king but the premier or of this country, or the prime minister, Netanyahu. We have no king but a man. And the reason we want a man for a king is so we'll get all these free things that the government has to offer.
Yeah.
We'll get our welfare checks and our Social Security checks because we want a man to rule over us. And then in 1 Samuel, Israel said, We want a king to rule over us to fight our battles. Oh, that's great. I suppose your king is going to go out and fight your battles. No, he's going to take you and your children and send them out to fight the battles, you dummy. But they said, We have no king but Caesar. And you know what? Israel is going to go through the 7-year tribulation, and they deserve every bit of it. And so do we. If you're a member of the church, you're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you deserve to go into the 7-year tribulation. We deserve it. But we're not. We're not. We're going to be taken out of this earth at something called the rapture, which we'll get into somewhere down the road here. But we don't deserve it. But it's all because of God's grace and mercy that we will miss the 7-year tribulation. The 7-year tribulation is going to come about because of God's judgment on Israel, God's judgment upon the nations, and God's judgment upon Babylon, which is false religion. There are those who teach that the United States is Babylon. That's a lie. There are those who teach that the Catholic Church is Babylon. Well, in a way, that's true. Babylon is false religion mingled with governments. The government and false religion mingled together. That's Babylon. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Joel chapter 1, in the Old Testament, all the way back here. Joel chapter 1. Isn't it amazing how Satan works? Think about this, if you will. We have something called the seatbelt law. And the people in the world are convinced that it's for their protection. Oh, that's all for me. The government loves me. They want me to live through my automobile accident.
What's your money?
Yeah. Actually, God doesn't want you to have an automobile accident. That's the bottom line. Satan doesn't care about that. But the seatbelt law, and most people say, well, that was designed to protect me. No, it wasn't. The seatbelt law is designed to harass you. If you don't put your seatbelt on, and it ought to be your right, whether you wear a seatbelt or not, there's nothing wrong with a seatbelt, but it ought to be your right to put a seatbelt on. Not a law, but it is a law. And all of our police departments and all of our state highway patrolmen sit and hide behind signs and hide on the corner and do this and pull you over and harass you all because of a seatbelt. Now, you don't believe that? I've been harassed because of a seatbelt. You shouldn't be harassed. And then somebody we know that lives in Geneva on the Lake, their daughter was almost raped by a guy, and they caught him before he did it. And come to find out, they got on the internet, and there were at least 15 pedophiles and perverts living in Geneva on the Lake alone. And yet the Geneva-on-the-Lake police don't care about those guys. All they care about is some poor guy going 5 miles over the limit so they can get $100 off of him.
Yep.
That's how Satan works. Yeah.
I pulled in a gas station last Saturday to get gas, and the cops were all sitting in there with a thing for the weekend. And that was what they were looking. They were looking to see if you walked over your vehicle as soon as you pulled the parking lot, see if you had your seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
If you did, they gave you a little coupon. You go inside the gas station and get a free cookie. If you didn't have a seatbelt on, they were writing tickets.
Yeah, that's nice of them. And they're there to protect you.
A cookie.
Yeah. They're there to protect.
They were looking for was seatbelts.
Yeah. I pulled into McDonald's here about a year ago, right up here. And when I pulled in, I went through the drive-thru, and there were two policemen standing at the drive-thru. We're here to warn you that you're going to have to start wearing your seatbelt because we're going to be inspecting pretty soon. And I said, well, I hope you're not planning on giving me a ticket for not having a seatbelt on in the drive. No, we can't. I said, good. I said, now that you're here, I don't like the seatbelt law, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to tell a police officer about it. I did. I've been waiting for the opportunity to tell a police officer about the seatbelt law. I think it's an infringement on my rights as an American citizen. It's against the Constitution. He said, well, I agree with you, but it's the law. Isn't that something?
Just says law don't make
I said, well, I know, and I know what you're just doing your job, but I really appreciate the opportunity to tell a police officer what I think because I've been waiting to do this for a long time. And I did.
Same
I felt better.
Nazi said, same answer the Nazis gave at the Nuremberg trials. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Because
yeah.
It's our law.
Yeah, that's how Satan works.
Kill Jews. Pass a law to kill Christians. It's the law.
That's the law. By the way, yeah, Bill?
It's unconstitutional to make a man wear a helmet on a motorcycle, but yet they can make you wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's how Satan works, isn't it? And by the way, now that we're on the subject, the state of Ohio has got a new law they're passing now. You can be pulled over for speeding, and they don't have to have a gun. All they have to do is estimate how fast you're going.
I think it was the Supreme Court that ruled on that.
Yeah.
If they assume you're speeding, they can give you a ticket.
That's wonderful, isn't it? So the average working American citizen is harassed by Satan and his laws, but that's the way it is. Back to the Bible here, Joel chapter 1, if you will. Actually, go to Joel chapter 1. Back in the Old Testament here. In verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The day of the Lord is the 7-year tribulation, plus it goes into the millennium. Chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, which is synonymous with Israel, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong and so forth. In other words, the 7-year tribulation will not be fun. Now, I bring these things up about the seatbelt just to show you that that is nothing compared to what's coming. It is nothing compared to what's coming. Now then, turn over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 12. I went to these verses in Joel to lay the foundation for Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We just saw in Joel that the day of the Lord cometh. It's going to be a terrible time, and it's going to be against Zion, basically. And then in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, the day of the Lord, shall Michael stand up, who is the angel of the particular angel for the nation of Israel. And then, of course, we had Gabriel, who is the particular angel for the Gentiles. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, the seven-year tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Look up here for just a minute. How does God deliver people? How do they get their names in the book? Simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. At that time, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Israel will be delivered. One-third of the nation of Israel will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other two-thirds will die and go right straight to hell during the tribulation. Isn't that sad? But one-third, God said specifically, one-third of the nation of Israel will put their faith in Christ. Their names will be found. Their names will not be erased from the book, and they will go into the kingdom, and Israel will be established once again, but not yet. They have to go through the seven-year tribulation plus everything they're going through today. Look what happened that Rich just talked about over there. Who was harassed by that? Israel. But they asked for it. Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, there's going to be a resurrection of the saved and a resurrection of the lost. And they that be what? But in this verse, I want you to notice and pay close attention to this. This is particularly a resurrection of Israel. That's what this verse is talking about. And they that be wise, that's you, by the way, if you're wise, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Why? Why will you shine like the brightness if you're wise? If you're not wise, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In other words, what he's saying is this. If you're wise, you will tell other people about Jesus Christ. If you're wise. If you're not wise, you'll keep your mouth shut because you're afraid somebody will harass you. You poor thing. And I feel sorry for you. I don't want you witnessing for Christ because somebody's going to condemn you and criticize you. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go through that, you poor things. The heck I don't. I want you to get out there and tell people that Christ died on the cross for them. One a week, one a month. I don't care how many you do. If you do that, you're wise. If you're not, you're stupid. That's what the Bible says, not me. Don't hate me for it. You can hate me if you want.
What are those resurrections at the end of the tribulation?
The resurrection at the end of the tribulation will be the resurrection of the nation of Israel. There is something coming down on that's a spider coming down on a web right there. Look at that. There, not anymore. The resurrection at the end of the seven-year tribulation, if you want to find that, go to Ezekiel 36 and 37.
What this resurrection is?
I believe that's what it is in reference to, although there's also a resurrection of the saved and a resurrection of the lost. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's very simple, really. There's only two resurrections, the saved and the lost. But I believe the basic resurrection here is the resurrection of Israel at the end of the seven-year tribulation. That's what I think is the basic resurrection. That is the primary interpretation. You know, we go through that a lot. The primary interpretation is Israel at the end of the seven-year tribulation will be reborn. The practical application is every saved, born-again Christian will be resurrected to everlasting life. Everyone that's lost will be raised to everlasting contempt. Okay? Verse 3, they that be wise. We already took a look at that verse. Verse 4, here's what I was headed for. Okay. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, that isn't the truth. Man runs to and fro today, don't they? My wife got in the car yesterday and ran to and fro. We ran all the way fro, all the way up to Kania, stopped into the Chinese buffet, and I came home stuffed. Now, we didn't plan on it. It just happened. It was something like some kind of a lure. There was this restaurant that said King Buffet. And I said, let's go take a look at that, okay? And we did. Many shall run to and fro. We spend all of our time running to and fro. You get on an airplane, go here, go there. Get on a boat, go here, go. Mankind and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, you think if we live in a world of knowledge? I watch a golf channel occasionally because I've been trying to learn how to play golf. So I watch a golf channel. And it's working. I can play golf. I went out, last week and played 9 holes. I had a 36 on the first hole. But anyway, there's this new thing now, a telephone, where you can bring up 25,000 golf courses on your cell phone. That's amazing. This cell phone not only does all kinds of other stuff, but it'll tell you what golf course you're playing and every hole on it. It's amazing. Knowledge shall increase. But what I really want to point to is here, verse 4, let's read that again. Shut up the words and seal the book. Why? Why would he do that?
Mystery concealed.
Yeah, it is. We'll get to that. Good. That's good. Verse 8, go on down if you will. Now Daniel saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw all these other things. He was clothed in white linen, verse 7, and so forth. But verse 8, notice, pay the close attention to this, if you will. Daniel said, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel looked, beheld, but he didn't get it. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I want you to get those three verses. I want you to understand those three verses. So I'm going to take a minute and explain those three verses. And how I'm going to do that is hold your place. We're going to come right back here. I want you to go to Romans chapter 16. Go all the way back here to Romans chapter 16. We're going to explain a couple things here because I want you to understand it, because one of these days I'm going to be dead and gone and you guys are going to be teaching the Bible. So I want you to get it. Romans chapter 16, verse 24. Now remember what we read in Daniel. Daniel said, I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel saw the church age, but he didn't understand what he was seeing. And the Lord said, seal up the words till the time of the end, and many shall be purified. Verse 24, Romans 16. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that has power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. You pay attention to that? Did you get it? The reason Daniel didn't understand what was going on is because the New Testament and the church age was a mystery. The word mystery means a truth concealed until the time revealed. So the Lord said, there's a truth here, Daniel, but I don't want you to understand it yet. We're not ready yet. It was kept secret, but now pay attention to this verse. Pay attention. But now, since we have the New Testament, and Christ went to the cross, and we have the New Testament being written, and the book of Acts, now is made manifest. Now, and by the scriptures of the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament prophets, what they prophesied is now made manifest. So there isn't anything about God that you can't understand because it is now made manifest. You know, the Catholic Church would like to keep everything a secret from you. But that's a lie because God said it is now made manifest. During we were talking to someone the other day about the Anglican Church in Great Britain. The bishops in Great Britain, the archbishop, said, we don't want anyone to have a Bible. They wanted nobody, no Bibles. And that's why King James had the Bible translated, because he was mad at the archbishops. He didn't read it. He didn't care, because he was a homosexual. He didn't want to know what the Bible said. But he was mad at the archbishops. He said, well, who do you think you are? I'll have the Bible translated and give one to everybody. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how God gives us what he gives us, isn't it? King James said, I have my George and Jesus had his John. He said Jesus was homosexual. Nice guy, huh? Guess who gave us this Bible? King James. I'll take it. I don't care what King James did. It's a pretty good Bible.
Sometimes God uses evil people to do his work for
him. That's exactly what's going on in the world today. And I'm writing a book about it right now. Hopefully I'll get it put together sometime shortly and get it printed.
It's like the Methodist Church is in bed with the global thing, with global government.
Most of them are, yeah. But the Methodist is the worst. The Methodist Church was infiltrated by the KGB in the 50s. I don't know if you're aware of that. The United Council of Churches was infiltrated by the Russian KGB in the 50s. The Methodist Church was a part of that.
And it all started in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, that's why I love Cleveland so much.
Yeah.
Verse 26. Back again now. In other words, there's nothing you can't understand about the Bible, and we're running out of time, so I have to hustle here. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In other words, when people die and leave this earth, there is no excuse. Now then, one more place here, 1 Corinthians. Why did God hide these things? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Why did God hide these things? I'm going to hurry up here. I want to finish this up before we close. Chapter 2, verse 7, 1 Corinthians. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, age, nor the princes of this world, age, who Satan and his followers, now pay attention, that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you listening to that? Had Daniel explained everything before the time, Satan would not have allowed Christ to be crucified. Of course, he couldn't have, God would have done it anyway. But they would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known everything that God had in store. Satan had the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, thought he'd won the battle. I don't know how he could be that dumb, because he has an IQ of 150 million. But he did.
He has an ego that big as well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. I appreciate that little insight. That is good. He does. He has an ego. And so do his followers. So Daniel said, they told Daniel, close the book and seal the book till the time of the end. Now, if you will, we're running out of time. Back to Revelation chapter 1. And we have a couple verses here, and then we'll close, because I don't want to hold you over, because you'll be mad at me, and then I'll lose sleep over all that. Life is terrible. Life is just absolutely terrible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that you, by the way, so remember something, revelation is not hard to understand, is it? Because if it was, God wouldn't have said this, would he? To show unto his servants, that you, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore witness, record of the word of God and a testimony of Jesus Christ in all things. Now pay attention to this verse. Blessed is he that readeth. Did you hear that? You want to be blessed? Read the book of Revelation. That's what he said. Blessed is he that readeth, and he that hear the words of this prophecy. In other words, those who teach it and those who hear it will receive blessings if you adhere to this book of Revelation. And keep those things which are written in it. The word keep means to make note, consider. For listen to this, the time is at hand. One more verse and then we'll close. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, one more verse, verse 10, and then next week we will get into the book of Revelation a little more. Listen to what God told John in the book of Revelation. Remember what he told Daniel. Seal the book. Time's not yet, not ready. It's a mystery. But now he said in verse 10, and he saith unto me, and he said unto me, seal not the words or the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He told Daniel, seal the book. He told John, unseal the book. It's at hand. There isn't anything about God that you can't know. There isn't anything about the future that you can't know. And you're going to be surprised at some of the things in the book of Revelation that are going to take place because man has already asked for them. He already has. How about global warming? You know, global warming calls God a liar. But in the book of Revelation, God says, you're going to get your global warming, and you ain't going to like it. I can't wait, because I won't be here. You know, another thing God's going to do, I was talking about, I got to point this out. The government, our people look to the government for everything they want. You know, in the book of Revelation, the number 666 is a law from the government, and everybody's going to say, oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to put a number on my right hand or my left hand and my forehead, and I can buy and sell anything I want to. Isn't the government wonderful? Oh, they're wonderful. All I have to do is go into a grocery store and use this number and walk out with whatever I want, and I won't have to pay for it. Isn't that wonderful? That's about the way we are today, isn't it? Yeah. It's wonderful. Anyway, let me show you this, if I may. Are you going to heaven when you die? If you don't, you'll wind up in hell, and it's pretty hot down there. Going to heaven is really easy, isn't it? Going to heaven is simply this. God says, I'm a sinner. This represents my sin. This represents me. I can go to hell and pay for it. God will allow me to do that. Remember what we read in Daniel? Some shall awake to everlasting life in heaven. Some shall awake to everlasting contempt in hell. Or Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And all I have to do is believe it. And if I believe it, then I will miss hell. Isn't that great? If you want to go to hell, reject it. I don't care. Not my business. But if you want to go to heaven, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He paid for your sin 2,000 years ago. And all you have to do is believe it. Isn't that great? Let's have a word of prayer and we will close. Dear Lord, well, I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. Thank you for his word. And if you read it, you'll realize how true it really, really is. It's absolute truth from beginning to end. Reveals Satan. Reveals God's plan. And dear Lord, we thank you for it. And I want to thank you for the burning wallet, too. I love it. But if you're here this morning, you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, just right now say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. And just accept it by faith. It's that simple. And then tell somebody else. Pretty soon, it'll add up, won't it? Dear Lord, thank you for everyone who's gathered here this morning. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, please rise and turn to page... Oh, I forgot already.
453.
Well, let's go right in the middle. Let's go to 353.
853.
No, I'm kidding. 453.